your son for redemption, the price for my heart. And I don't have a contest for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend, and I know that I need you. Run to the Father, call them to grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father. Been in your sight long before my first breath, running into your arms, running to life from death, and I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out.
I've sang this song a lot, but this bridge has never meant more to me than it just did. Even when I don't think that my life is where I want it to be, He knew. I've been in His sights since before my first breath. Everyone would just sing that with me. My heart has been in your sight long before my first breath, running into your arms, running to troubles I face. While when I'm hungry for powers or riches forfeit, my God is so much bigger than all of these things.
So I won't be shaken.
Bigger tonight. Come on. How many know he's stronger tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's stronger than some of your friends' unbelief. Amen. I want you to pray with me. Scripture says if you any two shall agree touching any one thing, that's powerful. It's a done deal. I started working with a couple probably 7-8 months ago that I have never seen so many roadblocks come up in one person's life who's just trying their best to be a homeowner, trying to buy a house. They call me out of the blue and ask me if I would work with them. I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, where are you from? Tennessee. How'd you find out about me? Somebody told us to call you. Okay, I'll work with you. And I watched this couple get disappointed so many times. Failed inspections, lender issues, just disappointment after disappointment. And the whole time, even though there was probably a little thread, have you ever had a thread of doubt? You ever had a thread of doubt? Even though it was a little bit of thread of concern on my part as their agent, I said, you know, God's going to do this thing for you. And the husband said to me, well, we're agnostics. Okay. I learned something that day. We're agnostics. Okay. Well, you know, he's into music. So I said, you know what? I said, let me show you a little clip of our worship team. I said, before I'm a realtor, I'm a pastor. Realtor's a part-time thing for my retirement. So let me show you my worship team. So I pulled you guys up and just let him listen. He said, wow, that's impressive. I said, you know, how would you like to be a part of a team like that? This guy doesn't believe, but I invited him to come to rehearsal and just hang out with these guys and see what we do. And he said, well, we don't do church. Okay, that's fine. Let's get back to the house then. I just dropped it, okay? Can I just tell you something? I've had my quota of crowds. I've been in large seating capacities and had great services. I've been revival meetings where, you know, the numbers were beyond single digits, barely. I've had TV stuff, interviews, all that stuff, and I've had my quota of, if I don't never get another chance to say, hey, here's an influential thing, I've got a good sack of stories. But you know what the most rewarding thing for me is as a preacher? Just to work with somebody just one-on-one. And so I just started praying for this couple, and I want you to pray for them. And I'm not going to call their names, but just call them the couple. And they got, everything just didn't work out on the house, and everything just crashed, and they lost quite a bit of money because they lost all their inspection fees and all that stuff. And I just said to them, listen, man, you're going to do this, okay? You're going to get there. You're going to be a homeowner. And they still trusted me, so I got on round two, found another house for them, and it was a nightmare. Nothing worked right. But I just kept saying to them, listen, you're gonna win. It's gonna work. Okay? Just trust me, God. I believe God. I said, you know what? I don't know if this means anything to you or not, but I pray for you guys. And they said, well, we appreciate that. Well, they closed on their house Tuesday. Okay? Yesterday. And I was sitting in the attorney's office. I don't go to closings. I've been a real estate agent for 3.5 years. I've never been to a staff meeting. I've never been to a company training. I told them that, listen, I'm a pastor, and I'm not coming to training. I'm not doing classes. I'm not doing any. If you want me to work for you, that's fine, but I'm not doing any of that stuff. And so I don't go to closings either. But this one, I wanted to be there. So I went to, I did a Clark Kent Superman thing yesterday. I got up at 5 o'clock and worked in the yard for a while and prayed and cut branches and all that other stuff. And then I just went in and cleaned up and changed clothes and went to the attorney's office. And I was sitting there, and they said, well, we got a little glitch. I'm sitting in the attorney's office praying in the Holy Ghost beneath my breath, just saying, God, you please, you gotta help this couple. And the attorney looked at him and said, you know, I don't really know what to say to you. I know you're excited, but it doesn't appear that we really needed to call you in here today because we've got a glitch, and I don't know what's going to happen, but can Wallace just call you back? If by chance you need to be called back, can he call you back? And she said, what else can happen? What else can happen? I stepped out in the foyer and just said, God, I want to minister to these people. Selling them a house is one thing, but I want to minister to these people. And this song right here came to my spirit. This God that we serve that cannot be shaken. Okay? He's on time. We've sung in all kinds of ways. And so my young lady that works in the attorney's office, she started waving. She said, come here, come here. She said, I don't know what just happened, but I got an email. We can close. We can close. And so I pulled out my phone and I looked up, speak to the mountain. And I sent it to them. I said, I know you're music people. I said, would you take time to listen to these words? Speak to the mountain. And they said, sure. And she sent me a text back about an hour later. And you know what she said? There is a God. That's what she said. There is a God. There is a God. And so my heart aches to see this young couple. They live down the road from you guys. Just probably a mile and a half, other side of the fairgrounds. Moved in that house yesterday with no furniture. Nothing. Slept on the floor. So excited. But they got up from the chair, and she said to me, you're a godsend. That's all I can tell you. You're a godsend. She hugged my neck, and tears flowed down her face, and the attorney's standing there looking at me like, what is this about? And he said, they left, and were so excited, and I said, I'll meet you at the house in a few minutes and give you a key. He said, man, I've never seen, in all my years as an attorney, I've never seen anybody so emotionally moved to get a house. And I told my attorney, I said, Will, you don't know the battles that this couple have been through to get here, you know? And I believed so wholeheartedly that God was going to come through for them that they had to leave their apartment because we were supposed to close, and that closing got crashed, and they had one more week, and they said, I guess we'll just go to a hotel. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you take care of that. And I said, Lord, the Holy Spirit said, you take care of that. I said, okay. So I said, listen, I want to bless you guys. Why do you do this? He said. I said, because I believe that God wants you to have a house. I really do. And so I wish I had time to just read you the letter that they wrote me. It moved me to tears. And I'm believing that this couple is going to forget the word agnostic, and they're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. You know, because it's really not about me selling the house. So would you just join me right now in praying for the couple? Okay, just call them the couple. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says if any two shall agree as touching any one thing. I stand in this pulpit, Lord, and I encourage your people all the time to preach the gospel, to look for opportunities, to witness, to share the hope of Christ. Lord, would you please give me an opportunity to lead these people to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And let the reality of what she sent in a text message, wow, there is a God, would you allow her to meet you, Lord? In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would allow her to meet you. And I thank you that my business with them is not over, and that I'll have the privilege, Lord, of just introducing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm believing for that. I'm trusting you, God. Would you do it? Because there's no mountain too high. There's no river too wide. There's nothing that's impossible, God, with you. And listen, as we sing this one more time, would you get a mental image of somebody that you're praying for? Come on. Get a mental image of somebody that you're believing for for salvation. And as you think about them and intercede for them, listen to the words of what you're singing right now. Could you?
There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. There's no fear that I have, He doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, there's no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God that's impossible. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. There's no fear that I have, He doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, there's no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God that's impossible. I won't be shaken. No, I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I'll speak to the mountain. Oh, it's time to move. My God is bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater than you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on. Believe God. Believe Him. Believe Him. Believe Him for the salvation of those that you intercede for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, do it. Do it, God. Hallelujah. Call us to intercession, Lord. Call us to standing in the gap, Lord, for people to be saved. Call us, God, to sharing the gospel. Call us to preaching the gospel. Call us again, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated in His presence. I'm excited about this coming Sunday because I witnessed to a couple today that I had engaged in doing some work around the yard with. I needed some help. And they're Hispanic, and we got over the language barrier, and I talked to them about faith, and found out that they're Catholics, and they promised me that they would do their best to try to be here in the next couple of Sundays, so I'm going to believe in God for their conversion as well. They talked about the way they do church, and the cross, and the blessings above the priest, and all that stuff, and so I knew where they were. But I'm believing God for those. Listen, ask the Holy Spirit to give you people in your path that you can share the gospel with. Amen. Father, equip us tonight with your word. Give us the message of heaven, God. I pray for an open heaven in this room right now. That you would take your manservant, Doug Echols, and Lord, that you would use him as an instrument, as a vessel, to just deposit into our spirit, Lord, that which you would have us to hear. God, we'll be so thankful and careful to praise you and give you all the glory, Lord. And Father, meet us at the altar at the end of this service. Give us an opportunity to make change, to go to the next level, to take the next step, to whatever is presented to us tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you welcome one more time to this pulpit, Doug Echols.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Great to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And how many know the Lord wants to do something good in your life? How many know He's done something good in your life? Amen. He will continue. The Bible said, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. How many believe He's going to keep working in you until He comes? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor, thank you again for allowing us to be here. Lori and I, we've had a great time, and we love this church, and we believe that the best is yet to come. How many believe that? Okay, well, if you don't believe it, I'll receive it anyway, all right? Hallelujah. Some of you are going to get something good coming your way. I believe it. And, you know, we've had some good things happen, but today I was talking to somebody about Haiti a little bit, and we were texting back and forth, and there's a lot of stuff going on there. You know, right now they're having difficulty getting fuel, because when the trucks come with fuel, they call them the bandits, but the gang members and all those are stealing the fuel and hijacking the trucks, and which is making it now, when they don't have any fuel, then the trucks don't have any fuel to bring them food, and so there's a lot of shortages happening. But even today, we got another water well done, so even in the middle of all this, we're getting something done. But we're praying for some peace. Sunday at the First Baptist Church in Port-au-Prince, I preached there before. They had gang members come in, and they kidnapped one of the deacons and shot his wife in church. These are crazy days. When I went to Haiti, I've been so many times, I've never felt unsafe. Are you understanding me? There was some stuff going on, but not like this. And I'm going to tell you, they already have enough. You know, somebody said, can Haiti get a break? I don't know, but I believe we can help give them a break. Amen. We are to be a blessing to people. And I want you to know that I started doing water wells. I was in a place called Gonaïves. Gonaïves is kind of halfway between Port-au-Prince and Cap-Haïtien, one of the other larger cities there. And when I was there preaching, I was preaching at the First Baptist Church there in Gonaïves. Their pastor, he's a little short guy. He has kind of longer hair, and I can see him. And his kids went to school in the United States, and he took me out. He's the one that got me doing water wells. He showed me. He said, see all these little girls? He said, you know, a lot of these little girls don't get to go to school. And they say in the world, 70% of those that cannot read or write are women. We know women are not stupider than men, or more stupid than men. There I said, stupider is not a word. Maybe, so us men are stupider than you women. All right, we got it. But it more stupid. You get it? Everybody okay with that? I'm sorry, I'm from the country and I talk that way. But anyway, we know that's not true. So what happens is, while the men and the boys, we have a school with 56 kids, almost I think 50 of them now are boys and only 6 are girls. And that's because the girls are having to get water for the family all day long, go to the river, get back and bring it back and all that. So what we found is we have a way to break that curse off of their life, that they can be blessed and that they can be something and do something great for the kingdom of God. How many know that they're made in the image of God? And God made them with purpose. And we can help tonight. Maybe somebody here wants to do a water well. You want to get involved in that. Water wells, you can't drill one in North Carolina for $1,500, but we can drill one in Haiti for $1,500. You know, I have a well on my property in Oklahoma, and it hasn't worked since we moved there. And one of my friends, we hooked it up. We hooked a little pump to it, a small pump, and water was coming out. He said, well, to fix it, it's going to cost about $1,800. And yet there's water there. Just to fix one that's already there is more than what it cost me. So we don't have we have city water, but we could use that pump to water our grass and water the plants and the things that, you know, you do. But we haven't done that. But I'm going to tell you, this is very inexpensive, and it changes a lot of people's lives. So I'm going to challenge you to get involved. Watch this video. It's only 1 minute long. So if you clip your nails or look through your purse for a mint, you'll miss it all. Let's watch it together right now. Amen. Amen. How many believe that for many more people to get touched by God? There's people waiting. And you know, the Bible said, how will they hear without a preacher? And how do they go unless they're sent? If you want to get involved with that, Pastor, I'm going to just have you come right now and just receive the offering. Then we can deal with that, and we don't have to worry about it at the end. Okay, so let's all get involved and do something good for the kingdom of God.
Praise the Lord. I said last night, and I'll say it again, if you listen to Pastor Doug here, for 35 seconds, a slice of his life that he didn't ask for. The last night you heard the story, and I told him, and I meant it from my heart, I had heard that story before, but it's one of those stories. You remember sitting in your grandma's lap, and every time you did as a kid, you'd jump up there and say, tell me the story, and she would say, what? And you'd say, the three bears, you know? And he shared with me that, and he said to you last night the same thing, this story never gets old, because the story is his story. It's not your story or mine. All of us have our stories, but this is his story. And the reason that passion is attached to it, I don't know how it would affect me if I thought I was getting ready to possibly see my life flash before my eyes and then come out on the other side of it alive. And then I think you'd pick up the mandate too. $1,500 is not a lot of money. And there's people in this room tonight. And so let's just bow our heads for just a moment. And then I'm going to ask you to come and just drop whatever you have to give tonight to the belief that God wants us to do that, to give to a water well tonight in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, your compassion for us. Thank you that water in our home is as simple as turning a knob. And Lord, we get all upset when something happens and it's potentially freezing or not running or whatever the case may be. But it's so easy in this country. But in other countries, it's not. And Lord, offering water in your name is biblical. And so we thank you for the opportunity in this room tonight to touch this nation for the cause of Christ through something as simple as water. Do it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, stand to your feet just for a moment and stretch. And for those of you that need to come forward, if you're using the app, that's fine. You can use the app. And if you pull it up and it just simply says guest, that's where you want to give under guest. So those of you that need to come to the buckets, thank you so much. And let's just believe God for a great opportunity tonight to receive what he has for us from the throne. Amen.
Amen, amen. While you're bringing those offerings, we'll just mention out in the foyer, once you come, you can sit down if you want, but out in the foyer, we have books that we've written, Rock Solid Principles for Prosperity, and then another book that I've written, Faith for the Holy Ghost, and I will tell you that very simple books, but we've seen a lot of people filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of people's life has changed by reading them. They're $10 a piece. We have a new music project. I say new, but it sounds really old, okay? I do old school music, okay? So if you don't like that kind of music and kind of with a little country flair to it, you know, I sing What a Day That Will Be When Jesus I Shall See, and a few of those old school songs, and I love all kinds of music, but this is what I can sing. And my kids make fun of me, and I tell them when they've sold thousands of copies of their music, then they can tell me what to do. Until then, they can't tell me nothing. So we have those out there for $10. If you don't have a CD player, you will listen to Spotify or iTunes. It's also available on there. We also, if anybody would love to be a partner with us, we have a little brochure that talks about what we do missions-wise. You know, we found that we can go really fast by ourselves, but we can go far together. It works better together, and you know, how were we able to do twice as many water wells in 2020 than 2019? It was because of our partners, and I had a lady from, actually, she's from North Carolina, Virginia, over there toward the other side of North Carolina anyway, and up close to the line. I can't remember if she's in Virginia or, but she called me and we were in the car together and she said, Brother Doug, I hadn't talked to you in a while, about 10 years. You used to go to my dad's church, a widow woman. And she said, but the Lord spoke to me. She said, I'm going to send you an offering. I said, praise the Lord. Okay. A few days later, I got an offering in the mail. She said, I want to partner with you. And we were riding in the car again. Phone rang. It was her again. I saw her name come up on the screen. And she said, Brother Doug, the Lord woke me up and said, if I've given, and have I given a lot if I still have a lot? That's what she said to me. I just let her talk. She said, the Lord said, have I given a lot if I still have a lot? She said, I'm going to send you another offering. I said, praise the Lord again. But see, what that does is every time somebody gets saved, every time there's a water well drilled, every time a child is fed and the gospel's preached, you're a part of that. So it's not just Doug going alone, but it's all of us going together. And I appreciate what you've done tonight. I know the Lord's going to bless you in a great and mighty way. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to share my vision with your people. Again, we have the shirts out there that say whatever. We got a lot of them wearing them tonight. A lot of you wearing them. They're worth about 15. I sell them for 20. I got it in the gray. I've got it in the blue, but the back has the Philippians 4:8 on it. And whatever's pure, lovely, and just, think on these things and pick those things up. Again, we take cash, credit, debit, check, Venmo, Cash App, PayPal. Okay, we can do whatever you need. All right, some people like to do different things, and we try to make it easy for everybody. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible has a story in two different places, in Matthew the 14th chapter and John the 6th chapter, where Jesus fed a multitude. He took the five loaves and fed with the multitude with the five loaves and the two fish. How many remember that story? And after he's done feeding the multitudes, he tells the disciples to get in a boat. And he said, I'll meet you in a little while. And he went to the mountain to pray. He went apart. He left them. And then in the middle of that boat ride, a big storm comes up. And the disciples, something happens, they're getting afraid, and Jesus comes walking on the water, and he says, do not be afraid. Now, when they saw it, the King James, they said, they thought it was a ghost. You know, this would be good about 3 weeks from now. You know, from now until October 31st, every commercial on your TV is a ghost. How many know what I'm talking about? Trying to scare the liver out of you. And he says, don't be afraid, it's me. Peter says, if it's you, Jesus, tell me to walk on the water. Tell me to come to you. He says, come. And we know that Simon Peter walks on the water, and he sinks, but he walks on the water. Now, if you think walking on water is easy, go fill your tub up tonight and give us a report on Sunday how it went. You're going to get some wet shoes, wet feet. But something happens. He sinks because he says, I'm afraid. And I'm going to say something to you tonight. People that hang out with Jesus can get afraid. See, I think sometimes we think, well, I'm immune from everything, but you know, even the people that hung out with Jesus, they got afraid. Jesus reaches out and rescues him. I like that part right there, because how many know that he rescues us? And I think something came up in my spirit a while ago while I was sitting there. He is anointed to bring liberty to the captive. That's still Jesus. He has the liberty and the anointing to set you free tonight. Let's look to Luke 21. And verse number 25 and 26. We prayed over the word before I got up here, so I won't have you stand or anything, but I want to read this. Luke 21, verse 25 and 26. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. Now think about that. We talked a little bit about the coming Lord last night with perplexity. The seas and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, Jesus is talking about what's going to happen before he comes. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. The Message Bible says it like this. It will seem like all hell has broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, sea in an uproar, and everyone all over the world in a panic. The wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom, the powers that be quaking. How many understand that fear is a very unpleasant emotion? Some people like to get afraid. That's why they'll go to a haunted house or whatever, you know, and I'm not propagating those things, but some people like that emotion, but to me it's an unpleasant emotion to be afraid. When we have anxiety about the outcome of something, that is fear. And as I've traveled in the last year and a half or so, I've noticed that people are dealing with fear all over the country. And I went into the airport, and I was in the airport, and I went into the restroom. And there's one thing that I don't do when I go into the restroom. I'm a man. I don't look around, number one, and I don't talk. Women now, it seems like they go in a herd and they're laughing, they come out laughing, but men, I'm going to tell you, we don't look around and we don't talk. If you do, something's wrong. Okay, I just thought I'd help you out there. But I went into the restroom and I saw something that I couldn't quit looking at. Okay, you say, well, ooh, this is getting scary here. There was a guy in the restroom at the airport wearing a hazmat suit. Okay, he was covered in this white outfit and puffy sleeves and puffy pants and little things over his shoes. And he didn't have gloves on, but he had a mask and a shield and like a beekeeper's helmet on, okay? This is in the bathroom, so I can't keep from looking at him because I find it really weird, okay? I get it. I understand there's disease, but I don't know. You know, if you're that afraid, you probably shouldn't have went to the airport. All right? Because you're going to get been on a plane touching somebody's knee that you don't know where that knee's been. All right? But I couldn't quit watching this guy, and I even washed my hands real slow, and I'm looking in the mirror because it just kind of was weird to me. And when he finishes using the restroom, he walks out without washing his hands. Now, I'm thinking of all the things that he's doing, the mask, the screen, the beekeeper helmet, the big puffy outfit, the shoes covered. Of all the things he should have done, he should have washed his hands. But there are people today that are having tormenting thoughts and they're terrorized, and there are people with phobias and with depression, and I am seeing it in the altar more and more than I've ever seen before. People are dealing with depression and they have fear of the virus and they have fear of dying and they have fear of the government, and we all have fear of the politicians. People are oppressed, and some are anxious, and some have fear of the unknown, and then we have fear of being misunderstood, and we have fear of being criticized, and then at churches are having fear of being different, and so they will never speak against social issues and practices that are happening in the community. I believe that fear has become a major strategy that the enemy is using to destroy people's lives. That's why Jesus, when he stepped into the house of God, he said, "The Spirit of Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to bring deliverance to the captive. People are captive in their mind, and they're captive by things that are happening. And I'm going to say it, if you're a believer and you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to have an opportunity to get into fear. You're going to have an opportunity for fear. That's why this Bible says, fear not. Do you know that Nike, the tennis shoe company, I don't know how really Bible-friendly they are. I would say they're probably not real Bible-friendly. But they have made a killing out of telling us to fear not. They have made a killing by selling shirts that say, no fear, no fear, no fear. Why is it that the tennis shoe company is telling us not to fear, and yet in pulpits we're not telling people that we should not fear? One night, we were at our house, and in the middle of the night, we have a house alarm system, okay? That if somebody comes and breaks in, the alarm goes off. About 2 a.m., the alarm is blaring, and our alarm is so loud, we live quite a ways from our neighbors, but I'm guaranteeing you they can hear it. It is very loud, and yet when that alarm went off, I was dead sleep, all right? I'm in the middle of sleeping, and Lori has to shake me. She said, the alarm's going off, and I'm kind of like, I got that, you know, I know that you might think that I'm stupid, but I woke up with that stupid feeling, all right? And that one didn't go away. No, I'm just kidding. But I had that grogginess that you have when you're woke up in the middle of the night. And I don't know, I got up and I you need to picture this. All I had on was my boxers, all right? And I'm walking around and I'm kind of, and Lori's behind me. And as I walk out the door of our bedroom, there's an iron there. And I pick up the iron. All right, and I'm like walking down the hall with the iron. All right, and I get to the front door, and the front door's open. And I'm like, I'm looking around, and Lori's still behind me, you know, and I walk out that door, and I go out on the front lawn, me and my boxers and the iron, looking for whoever broke into our house. Because if they're there, I'm going to iron their pants, evidently. Or I'll tell you, you dirty, rotten criminal, I'll double crease your pants. You know, I don't know what I was going to do with that iron. I don't know why I didn't pick up a gun, but I picked up an iron. I was at my parents' house. I'm a grown man. And I'm laying in bed one night, and all of a sudden I hear this pounding on the roof, on the ceiling above the bed where I'm sleeping, and I'm hearing that noise, and I wake up, and I open the blinds a little bit to look out because I hear something on their roof, but they have a building next to their house with a big light, and the light was shining in such a way that whatever was on the roof was making a shadow on the wall across the way. And the shadow looked humongous. Now, I'm a grown man. I couldn't find an iron, so I went into my dad's room. Somebody will catch this later, all right. I woke my dad up. I said, Dad, something's going on. My dad gets up, and he doesn't do what I did. He doesn't go to the blinds and open like this. He just yanks that cord, and when he does, whatever was on the roof stuck its head around. It was a giant raccoon, and it was looking right at us. But see, these stories may seem a little bit funny. I know nobody's hardly thinking they're funny, but I think they're kind of funny. But fear is usually not too funny. Usually fear is not too funny. 1 John 4:18, look there with me. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. That line that we need to look at is fear has torment. That word fear, if you look it up in the Greek, it is the word where we in the English get our word phobia from. Phobia. an abnormal fear, extreme fear, or even irrational fear. And there are people that are living, and maybe you're here tonight and you're fighting fear, it seems irrational to everybody else, and it doesn't even seem real, but it is real in your life. I understand that. It causes you to want to take flight. It causes terror or dread. But tonight I'm talking about fear for a minute. Fear will torment you, number one. Fear brings torment. But the Bible says the opposite of joy or pleasure is fear. Fear will cripple. Anxiety chokes or strangles. Joy is different. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Tonight, the worship team so awesomely led us into the presence of the Lord. And in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy, a satisfaction, a joy. I'm going to tell you something. We need to take our time and stay. Once we get in His presence, we need to stay in His presence. Because when we get in His presence, our worst goes and His best comes. The children of Israel, they had a promise of Canaan land. And we know that they sent 12 spies to check out Canaan land. They were to go find out the land that they were to possess. Now, you got to understand, these 12 men were all leaders. They weren't losers, all right? They didn't go, let's pick the guys that don't have anything to do and we'll send them to do this. They picked 12 leaders and to check out the land. Now, you think this sounds crazy, but they did not have Google Maps. All right, they didn't have a way to look. They didn't have a book that said, hey, that land, Canaan land, it's got this kind of topography. It has this kind of land. It has this kind of cattle. It has this kind of minerals. They didn't know what was there. So they had to send somebody to find out, and 10 of the 12 spies came back full of doubt and unbelief. The two that returned with great faith was Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb, as soon as he got back, he said, let's go right now and take the land. We can do it. Now, however, the 10 spies began to talk about the size of the giants. And they said this, that we are like grasshoppers in their sight. And something happened. The hope of the Israelites died within them. Tonight we talked about what hope does. We sang about what hope does. We need hope. It is good. Hope is good, but fear comes when hope dies. Their hope died and fear came. How many understand that faith is the language of the Spirit while sight is the language of the world? The world is looking at everything that's going on, and they don't understand the hope that we have. They don't understand the hope that we have. Do you realize that even when Elijah, you know, he'd prayed, it had not rained for 3.5 years. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And then he sends the servant out, and the servant sees nothing. But he finally comes back, and he says, I see a cloud like the size of a man's hand. See, that's like some of you in this building. You have family that know all the troubles that you have. They know all the things that you're dealing with, and yet they don't get it because you have hope for tomorrow to be better than today. You know that little cloud over your head, it might be small, but it's loaded with the very anointing of God, and the anointing will destroy the yoke of bondage in your life. That's why you're different than them. But we cannot walk by sight. We have got to walk by faith. Because you can either magnify or minimize a problem depending on your focus. You can make it big, or you can minimize it by your focus. But here they were after they got that report. The Bible said they wept all night. Numbers 14:1, then all the people began weeping aloud and they carried on all night. If you cry all night, you are tormented. Fear has torment. The faith of the two spies was totally disregarded. And the Israelites, what did they do? They forfeited the incredible promised land of Canaan because of fear. They had 40 years wandering in the desert. They had 40 years where they could have been in Canaan land. I'm asking you something tonight. What are you forfeiting in your life because of fear? 40 more years of wandering occurred, not because of the giants, but because of their fear of the giants. See, there are people that will not get on an airplane because of fear. They're forfeiting preaching the gospel around the world because they're afraid to get on a plane. There are people that won't do some things. They won't get in an elevator. There's things that we don't understand. But I'm going to tell you, what are you forfeiting tonight because of your fear? How many people are wandering in the desert because of fear instead of fulfilling their destiny tonight? Do you realize when I read the Bible, fear and faith seem to be opposites? Fear comes by hearing the word of the devil. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I cannot be in faith and live in fear at the same time. I've got to stand upon the Word of God. I've got to believe the Word of God. I've got to hide it in my heart. I've got to activate it by speaking it. I've got to activate it by meditating upon it. I got to activate it in order for it to work in my life. Listen to me tonight. Giants cannot destroy you, but number two, your fear of giants can destroy you. See, 10 of these people, they saw giants. Two of them said, yeah, we saw giants, but look at the size of the grapes. Remember that story? Giants were people that the Israelites that were crying all night had not even seen. They didn't even know what they were. And a lot of things that we're afraid of and a lot of things that we have fear of are things that we have not seen. The 10 spies told them about the giants. They were leaders. And the people wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb because we are grasshoppers compared to them. You know what giants are? Giants are a symbol of oppositions and challenges of the day. Impossible things that each and every one of us have to face. These are giants. I'm asking you, what giants are you facing today? But I'm going to say it like this. Giants cannot destroy you. God has given us many promises of miracles. He's given us promises of harvest and supernatural blessing. But there's always giants that are there that are going to require conquering. Now, we live in a different day, but today we live in a day where if you get 13th place, we give you a trophy. When I was a kid, you were a loser if you were 13th place. We don't celebrate 13th place at my house. Let me tell you something. I remember my nephew, he's a grown man now, but when he was a little boy, he was down in the basement playing Candyland with his mom and my dad, all right? My sister and my dad were playing Candyland. That's that little game you play with kids, the first one they learn, you know, a board game. And little Robbie came upstairs crying. He goes, I lost at Candyland. My dad, he's the grandpa of the family, comes up and he said, I won at Candyland. He beaten the little grandkid into the ground. And the only one that had any sympathy was my mom because she likes losers. The rest of us, we didn't have any sympathy. He lost. You know what? We need to learn to lose and win. It makes winning a lot sweeter when you know what losing feels like. How many know what I'm talking about? But champions get their prize after they defeat an enemy. If you do not fight, you have no right to victory. Listen, You're going to have to fight off fear. Fear will come like it did to the disciples. But you're going to have to fight it off. Listen what I say about fear. Anyone can fight off fear. Most won't fight off fear, but a few will fight off fear. And I want to be one of those that fight fear off. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:9, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." You ever read a verse and you wish that part of it wasn't there? You know, like, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." I don't like that part, but I like the second part. "But the Lord delivers us out of them all." I like that second part. Too bad he put the first part there. But this verse, 1 Corinthians 16:9, I don't know if I have it on PowerPoint or not, but it says, "A great and effectual door is opened unto me." I like that part. But I don't really like the part, "And there are many adversaries." There are going to be giants, is what you might want to put. There's going to be somebody you're going to have to conquer. "But a great door and effectual is opened unto you, but you're going to have to fight." Let me explain it this way. I was preaching in Ghana, West Africa. I was preaching in a place called Butumburum. It's a refugee camp for the Liberians that had come there. They had an uprising in their country, and many of them fled to Ghana. And I'm preaching there, and we're doing a crusade on the soccer field there, and we have rented the stadium. We have rented sound equipment for, you know, 25, 30,000 people to hear. And we had checked the weather. It's not rainy season. It hadn't rained in 2 months. Not supposed to rain for at least 2 more months. We get there, and the first night we get ready for the crusade, it rains so hard you can't see your hand in front of your face. All right? "A great and effectual door is open unto you, yet there are many adversaries." All right? Second night of the crusade. Let me tell you something. I was talking to T.L. Osborne, my hero, and I was telling him one time about something going wrong like this. He said, "Don't tell people in America when things go wrong. They don't buy, when you're planting seed and watering seed. They buy harvest." So I'm breaking his rule. I'm telling you. I'm just telling you right now, because sometimes stuff comes against you. The next night, we get there, and they say, "We got a problem. We had 2 brand new generators. But they said, "We got a problem. You can either have sound or you can have lights, but you can't have both." I said, "Turn the lights out. We'll have a better meeting if you can't see me anyway. We might try that tonight." So we have another adversary, a giant. The third night, we get new generators, and they don't work either. I mean, everything went wrong. See, it doesn't cost any more to have a good crusade than a bad one. Are you hearing me? So I'm mad at the devil. Sunday morning, I'm going to preach at one of the churches in Accra. And I'm sitting on the platform, and I'm just rehearsing all this, and I'm mad at the devil. I'd have seen him. I'd have spit in his eye without a mask. Are you getting this? I'm mad at the devil. I'd have punched him. I'd have given him a left and a left and a right and then a hook and then another hook and an uppercut and an uppercut. All right, I'm mad. But the Lord dropped that verse, 1 Corinthians 16:9, in my heart. "For a great and effectual door is opened unto you, and yet there are many adversaries." I did not know where that word was. I had to look it up. All right? Evidently, I hit it in my heart, but I had to look it up in a concordance to find out where that verse was. And that verse began to speak to me. "A great and effectual door is opened unto you, yet there are many adversaries." The Lord spoke to me, "You can get anywhere from nowhere with God." Somebody ought to tell your neighbor that right now. You can get anywhere from nowhere with God. See, some of you are sitting there tonight in nowhere. You actually think nobody knows you're around, nobody knows you're alive, nobody knows your situation. But I'm going to tell you something, you can get anywhere from nowhere with God. After church that morning, after I preached, we had a great service. They took me to a Chinese restaurant in Africa. I'm telling you, the Chinese have restaurants everywhere. You can go in the jungle in Peru. You can go to the jungle in Pakistan. There's going to be Chinese food. If we love people as much as the Chinese like money, we'd already won the whole world to Jesus. Okay, that's good preaching right there. So I'm sitting at that restaurant. And they have Wi-Fi there, so I'm on my phone looking at my email. And there's an email comes from a pastor from Tucson, Arizona. He said, "Brother Doug, I hear you're in Ghana." He said, "I have a good friend there that I want you to meet, Pastor Duncan Williams." And that's all he said. I was like, well, that'd be good. I emailed him back, but the time difference, I didn't get any email back. I'm like, there's thousands of pastors in Accra. How am I going to find this guy named Duncan Williams? We're riding back to our hotel. I'm still mad at the devil because we should have had thousands and thousands of people saved, but because of all the trouble, we didn't have a really good meeting. The taxi driver, I said, "Have you know a pastor by the name of Duncan Williams?" He screeches, halts the taxi. He said, "That's my pastor." Now, of all the taxis, I got in one of the biggest cities in Africa. I got in the right taxi. How many think God knows how to get you to the right place? Doors are opened by the Lord. I said, "Well, are you having church tonight? We don't have a service tonight. Do you have church tonight?" He said, "We happen to be having our international convention tonight." He said, "I'll pick you up if you want." I said, "Yeah, pick us up." We got dressed to go to church. We got back in that taxi. We go to the meeting. We come over a hill. And I said, he said, "There's the church." I said, "Where?" "All I see is a coliseum." He said, "That's the church." I said, "How many people go to this church?" He said, "Well, just a little over 16,000. It's just a little struggling church in Africa." So we walked in the door. I'm walking in with another guy who looks like me, all right? So they didn't have to figure it. You know, they know we're from America, okay, pretty well. Especially when we talk. We don't, you know, I don't talk like I'm from England or Germany. All right? And I have this color. So I walk in the door, the usher, he says, "Oh, are you guys preachers from America?" That's what he says. He didn't have to have a word of knowledge. We look like preachers. In those days I had preacher hair, steadfast and unmovable. You know what I'm talking about. I said, "Yeah, we're preachers, you know. We were trying to lay low," but he said, "Well, the bishop would want you to sit on the platform." All right, it's a big old church. I said, no, we're just here to, we're just thankful to be here. No, we don't want to do, no. He said, "I'll get in trouble if you don't sit on the platform." They took us up on the platform. The platform would seat over 200 people on the platform. They had a big old curtain, and right after we sat down, the curtain opened up, and a big old choir came out singing great and lifting the place up and bringing us into the presence of the Lord. We enjoyed the preaching that night. The couple of preachers from America that we knew were there preaching the conference. We walk off the platform when they dismiss. We're starting to walk out the door, and somebody comes over and says, "The bishop wants you to eat with us." Now, you know I don't turn a meal down. So they take us through a side door, walk us up to an area, and this big man comes out. He's got a huge hand. He sticks it out when I walk through the door. He grabs my hand. He said, "I'm Archbishop Duncan Williams. What are you doing in my country?" I began talking to him. I said, "Well, we've been out in Bootenburm ministering among the Liberian refugees." He stops me right there. He won't let go of my hand, and he pulls me across the room. There's a woman dressed very exquisitely. She has on Kelly green, really nice, green wrapped up, and then her hair is wrapped up real high with this shiny gold material. She looked beautiful. He pulls me to this woman. He says, "I want to introduce you to the Liberian president's wife." How many know you can get anywhere from nowhere with God? You can get anywhere from nowhere with God. But yet there are many adversaries. I tell you that sometimes warfare is necessary for your victory. Victory qualifies you for rewards. You understand tonight it is not playtime, it is power and prayer time. Somebody say amen. See, when you read the Word of God, overcomers are the only people that the Holy Spirit rewards in eternity. Overcomers are the only ones going to heaven. In Revelation 3:5, it says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life." In Revelation 3:12, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more." Revelation 3:21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame." How many understand that if you're going to make it to heaven, you got to overcome some things, and you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. There is no fear in love, 1 John 4:18, "But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love." Love is an enemy of fear. When love fills your heart, fear has no place in your life. Why do people hate each other? I'm going to tell you, because they don't have love and because they have fear of one another. But when you have love, it casts out fear. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Somebody, number four tonight, the Holy Spirit will cause fear to go from your life. See, somebody asked me, "You think that the answer for everything is the Holy Ghost?" Yep, I do. My daughter was talking to us this week. She drove us to the airport. And she said, "Mom, I would call you from school and tell you, man, I'm having a little rough time with a test. I'm having, you know," she was in college, and before she graduated, she was having some, you know, different difficulties every now and then, and you, she said, "Mom, you would never say, 'Oh, it'll be all right. I, you know, I love you,' and all that." She'd say, "You need to stop what you're doing and pray in the Holy Ghost." See, we're not coddling up to all that stuff. We know that the Holy Ghost abides in you, and when he abides in you, you need to stir him up. See, I think that the Holy Ghost is the vaccine of the Christian. It'll keep you from fear. It'll keep you out of a mess. It'll help you when you're stressed out. It'll help you through the day. That's what I'm talking about. In Ephesians 6, we're told to put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with the truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the mind of Christ. How do you do that? Praying always. Praying always. How? Praying always in the Spirit. Casting down the bad news. Casting down the bad report. Casting down the fear that you've been given because of what you're going through. But I'm going to tell you, you need to bring every thought into captivity, for the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I declare you to be loosed in the name of Jesus. A few years back, I was in West Virginia in revival. I was sitting on the very front row, and I had just gotten the worst report over the telephone that I could ever think I could ever imagine getting. You say, "What was it?" Mind your own business and you won't be minding mine. That's good doctrine right there. It's in Thessalonians, but it sounds good when Hank Williams Jr. sings it. All right. I think Hank Williams Jr. and then Reba sings it, and Tom Petty's on that song, and what's the blind guy? Come on, help me out. I think he's on there too. Okay, I just drew a blank. But that's okay. You say, is that a good song? I don't know, but I like the, you know, it helped me a few times. Stay out of people's business and they won't be in yours. But I had a bad report. Just pull whatever report you want to get. Just fill it in. You ever had one of those where you get a bad call? And it was so bad that while I was sitting there during praise and worship, felt like the walls were coming in on me. I'd never had this happen before. I'm thinking, man, this is not good. And I know I should have stayed in the service, but I thought I was getting ready to wig out. I don't know what that means to anybody here. But it's not really good when the evangelist wigs out. So I walked outside and went out in the parking lot. And I just said, devil, you're a dirty, rotten liar. I said, I don't know what's going on, but you're not winning. And I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. I began to pray in the Holy Ghost, praying always in the Spirit. It only took about 10 minutes. But I was praying in the Holy Ghost till the victory came. See, the disciples, when you read about it, they lost their fears after the coming of the Holy Spirit. Peter had denied the Lord. Thomas had doubted him. Every disciple fled and ran away during the crucifixion. The disciples were embarrassed. They were humiliated. They were shamed. They were confused. And yet, after the coming of the Holy Ghost, they were bold as lions. 11 years ago, I was talking about the earthquake. The pastor talked about it. 11 years ago, a month after, I went to South America, to Colombia, South America. And I really didn't think that what happened in the earthquake affected me. You know, I saw some things, you know, and I knew that God had called me to the people and I was a debtor to the people of Haiti, but I didn't know how it affected me. I was in Colombia and South America, and we were going to schools all day, preaching crusades at night, but one of the schools we went to was a two-story building. It was made of wood, and it was old. We got on the second floor, and there's about 40 Americans, and about 39 of us were overweight. Okay, whatever. But that floor, when we were on it, was moving. And it reminded me a little bit of the tremors of the earthquake. And something came on me, and I looked over, and it brought back a memory of that earthquake. And I didn't know it had even affected me. And I looked over to one of my friends. I said, I'm going to leave, but I'll be right back. Because I'd had that feeling at that church in West Virginia. Now, I'm being very plain with you tonight. All right, I don't talk about this stuff. But this is the second time now I'm feeling this thing. And I'm like, what am I going to do if I can't go around and preach? And if stuff bothers me like that, I'm not going to be able to do what God's called me to do. I better get a hold of this right now. I'm not going to let it go any further. I walked outside and I prayed boldly in the Holy Ghost about 10 minutes again until the victory came. And it's not happened ever again. I'm going to tell you something. We need to get a hold of things before they become strongholds in our life. And if it's a stronghold, I believe Jesus came to set the captive free tonight. Remember what Jesus told Simon Peter? He said, there's going to be an enemy. And he said, the devil is going to set a trap. He said that. Look at Luke 22. Verse 31 through 32. I'm about finished here. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. This is Jesus talking to Simon Peter. That he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He was saying Satan is going to come to try to crush you. But Jesus said, somehow use that experience and help somebody else. Listen tonight, when you're under attack, focus on others and help them. See, Simon Peter had already told Jesus, he said, hey, look, I'll go to prison for you. I will die for you. And then he denies Christ. Cock-a-doodle-doo. After Jesus' death, after being filled with the Holy Ghost, he preaches and helps 3,000 people get saved. In Acts chapter 3, he's still focusing on others. He's going to the temple to pray at the eastern gate, and that man at the beautiful gate says, I want a little handout. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. He's still focusing on others. What is on the other side of your step of faith tonight? Some of you are up against it. Some of you have had an attack of the enemy on your life, but what is on the other side of your step of faith? What happens tonight if you defeat fear? What happens tonight if you defeat the enemy in your life? What happens if you come against that attack and win and you're an overcomer? See, somebody on the other side of your fear gets a blessing. Somebody on the other side of your attack gets a blessing. It's not just about you. Ephesians 6:8, I love this verse. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord, whether he be bond or free. See, we mess up when we only think about ourselves. I learned as a little kid in VBS in Sunday school, Christianity is put others first and ourselves last. And somebody around you right here is going through your pain. And maybe somebody in this building is worse off than you. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll get through what you're going through, you can be a blessing to them. And in the middle of it, you can bless them with what you're going through. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went to the temple to pray. The lame man was healed. They were put in jail. They could be killed. But something they were said, do not speak in that name anymore. By what power or by what name have you done this? And I like this. This is good Oak English. They said, the man you killed, he ain't dead. How many know the man they killed, he's not dead? It gives me hope. I don't have a dead Jesus hanging around my neck, but I have a living Savior in my heart. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. See, fear did not take over. They could have been killed, but boldness and faith. They said, you get down there, they're let go. And they said, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word, and by thy name of thy holy child Jesus, that there might be signs, wonders, and miracles. The answer to their prayers found in Acts chapter 5. Peter's shadow is healing the sick. Are you hearing me? Something happens because they were focused on others in spite of their circumstances. See, I want to tell you tonight, when you face fear, pray to the Lord who's able. We sang it tonight. Man, the glory of God came when we were singing that song. It came strong in this building. There's a woman in the Bible that was a prostitute. King James says harlot, Rahab the harlot. In Joshua 2, 10 and 11, I want to read this. For we have heard how the Lord made a path through the Red Sea for you when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan, and how you ruined their land and completely destroyed their people. No wonder we are afraid of you. No one has any fight left in him after hearing things like that. For your God is the supreme God of heaven, not just an ordinary God. Now think about that a little bit. The spies, she hid them. She hid them. She's used to having men in her house, so it wasn't any big deal to have a couple more to come to the house. But these weren't coming for the normal business. She hid them. She said, man, they were better than the people of God. The people of God said, they're giants. She said, we've heard of your God. See, the people of God need to understand who they are and who they are in Christ. I'm an heir of God, and I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I have royal blood flowing in my vein. I'm going to tell you something. I am a child of God. I'm a peculiar people to show forth the praises of him that called me out of darkness into his glorious light. The people of God need to understand who their God is. Listen, I grew up with this understanding. My dad was my pastor. My dad was, he pastored 67 years. He's still living. He's 90. But I'm going to tell you something. Before he got saved, he was middleweight Golden Glove champion of Ohio. And I can tell you that no matter what happened, all my growing up, I never felt threatened when we were around people because I was thinking, my dad can whip your dad. My dad can whip your dad. That's what I thought. I remember one time he was about 50 years old, maybe close to 50. And he would go to the gym and he'd work out. He was still a big guy, though. He was middleweight when he boxed, but he got big. He could still jump rope and do all the stuff, you know, all the tricks. And he could knock that bag for a loop. And we're at the boxing gym that was owned by some highway patrolmen in our town that I grew up in. We're at that gym, and one of the boys from the church came in. He was a defensive back for a Division I NCAA school. This kid's head was so big it wouldn't fit in this sanctuary. All right? But we all loved him. He was a great football player, but he had a big head. You know? And he said, "Pastor," he said, "I see you hitting that bag." He said, "Let's put on the gloves, and we'll just tap a little bit. We won't hit real hard. I want to just go a little bit with you." My dad's 50. This guy's like 20 years old, defensive back for an NCAA Division I school. My dad said, no, "I'll hurt you." This kid's head, you know, is big. He goes, "Pastor, you know, he's pointing at his big belly, and he's like, you know, he's got abs on top of his abs, you know, and he's got abs on his forehead. Finally, he talks to my dad. He said, "Now, look, we're not going to hit hard. We're just going to, you know, kind of just tap a little bit." They're just doing that a little bit, and this football player, he slips one in and hits my dad a little hard in here. And my dad, he just lifts up his hand. The kid looks up in the air, and he goes, "Bam, down." And I went, "Yeah, my dad can beat your dad." That's how we need to think about our God. Our Father God, I'm going to tell you, I don't care what is going on. The devil, that, you know, some people say he's the ruler of this world. He's behind all this stuff. I'm going to tell you, God is bigger than whatever's going on behind the scenes. God's bigger than the problem you have. God's bigger than cancer. God's bigger than the report the doctors are giving. God's bigger than what the politicians are saying. God's bigger than what the educators are saying. God's bigger than the problem that you have. How many know we serve a big God? He's a big God. And listen, Joshua 2:24, "The Lord will certainly give us the entire land," they said, "for all the people over there are scared to death of us." Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Something's happening in these last days. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I don't want to get into this a lot. Just the Lord dropped this in my heart. But the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. I don't know how that's going to happen. And I'm not necessarily only talking about money, you know. I'm talking about the blessing of the Lord. I'm telling you, there's something. God's not going to forsake us in these last days. If you understand that when the children of Israel, you remember there was a place called Goshen. God had a place for the people of God. No matter what happens, if He did it for them, He'll do it for you. So I want you to get over whatever is holding you back and start focusing on other people. Start focusing on blessing other people and take your eyes off of what you're going through and realize our God is big tonight. Everybody stand with me in this place. Hallelujah. Listen, I know tonight I want to say it like this. We all have times where we have appointments. We have an appointment sometimes to go to the doctor, to go to the appointment to be at work, appointment to be at church. Sometimes we're late for church, we're late for the doctor, we're late for our appointments. Sometimes there'll be traffic. Somebody had a wreck and caused you to be late for a lunch appointment. But the Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. How many understand when we have an appointment with God, we'll be right on time? You realize in the last 2 years, a lot of people have gone to an appointment that we didn't expect them to go to. I think it's really important to always be ready, to be ready for your appointment with God. I think about that. Just a few weeks ago, the president of Haiti was assassinated. I hope he was ready for his appointment. He's heard me preach many times. couple of months ago, that building collapsed in Miami. About 100 people went into eternity. I hope they were ready for their appointment with God. I don't think they got up that morning making their toast thinking, this building's going to collapse. A couple of weeks ago or now, there was an earthquake in Haiti where a couple of thousand people died. Folks, we need to always be ready for that appointment. I'm not trying to put something on you. I'm trying to keep people from missing out. See, I don't live in fear about my future. I don't live in fear about those things because I know I have a Savior, a living Savior. I'm ready to meet God. I'm ready for my appointment. But I'm going to tell you something. There are people that are afraid. They're afraid to die. There was a comedian that died of cancer. Well, that guy was pretty funny, actually. It's hard to be a comedian anymore because everybody gets offended at everything. You know, I don't mind people making fun of me. I don't get it. I make fun of myself. But see, it's hard to be a comedian. But this comedian died, and they had lots of comedians at his funeral. And every one of them got up and said, man, we're afraid to die. Do you realize there's a lot of people afraid to die? I'll tell you something. You got Christ in your heart. This is nothing. We got eternity. What you can see is temporal. What you cannot see is eternal. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many in this building tonight say, preacher, if I had to stand before God for my appointment right now, I'm not 100% sure. I'm not 100% sure I'm ready for that appointment. I'm not asking if you're 98 or 99% sure. I'm asking you, are you 100% sure? Some of you are here and say, I'm not 100% sure, preacher, that I'm ready for that appointment. And I need your prayer tonight. If that's you, would you lift up your hand in this building and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm ready to meet God, and I need your prayer tonight. Is there somebody here that would lift up their hand? Come on, God's dealing with your heart. God's dealing with your heart in this place. God's dealing with your heart in this place. Is there somebody here that would lift your hand and say, I'm talking to you? You're watching by social media right now. If you're not sure, indicate it. Somebody will pray with you. We want to pray with you. But I don't want to leave anybody out here. I want to ask tonight. You say, I'm ready for that appointment, preacher. Well, how about tonight you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost? I said it's the answer for everything. Only the blood of Jesus gets you to heaven, but the Holy Ghost gives you victory on the way to heaven. Anybody here never been filled with the Holy Spirit that wants to be? If that's you, would you get out of your seat and come stand here with me right here? Come on. I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I want to be tonight. Come on. God's dealing with your heart. Come on. The Bible said you receive the Spirit by faith, Galatians 3:2. You receive the Spirit by faith, Galatians 3:14. I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I want to be tonight. I'm going to go on a little bit here. You don't get hungry, you'll never be filled. We kind of had an altar call like this last night, but I want to do it again. Before we do it, I don't want to forget about fear. Some of you got some stuff going on in your mind, in your life. Fear about tomorrow, fear about the future, fear about your children, fear about an issue. Listen, get real. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I understand there are people that are living in fear like never before. That people are attacked by depression, attacked about tomorrow, attacked about a lot of things. If you don't fight it off, you're never going to have the victory. You're never going to be that overcomer that the Lord wants you to be. How many in this building are fighting some kind of fear? And you want prayer tonight. I want you to join me right here. Come on, quickly, come to the altar. Nothing to be ashamed of. This preacher, I opened up to you and told you some stuff tonight. You can open up to the Lord tonight. Come on. You're dealing with something. I'm not going to get in your business and tell everybody. But you're dealing with some things tonight. You're under attack in your mind. You're under attack. Come on. Maybe you're under attack in your body, physically. You're under attack in your family, financially. Under attack spiritually. You're under attack. You join me right here in this altar. Come on. Come on, quickly. Something's going to happen when you get in this altar tonight. This is the place of freedom. This is the place of liberty tonight. I want somebody of faith to come stand behind every person that's here. If you're a person of faith, you'll believe with me. Because I'm going to tell you, they're going to have to fight themselves, but we're going to fight with them. There's something tonight about fighting together. Come on, come stand here. See, I want some people that are real to come help me pray, because I'm going to tell you, I've been through it. I've been through some of the things that some of you are going through right here. I've been under attack. But I'm going to tell you, I found out I can win by using my ability to help others. He told Simon Peter, strengthen your brethren. He said, you're going to get attacked by the enemy, but I want you to let God use you to strengthen your brethren. I want you to reach up and pray for that person you're touching right now. Come on. I'm going to pray with you. You just touch them on the shoulder, touch them on the hand, whatever. Touch them there and begin to pray right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you said, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of the Lord is moving right now. Devil, you're a liar. You take your hands off in the name of Jesus. Come on, I want you to begin to pray. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. You're filled with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Pray with your understanding right now. Devil, you're an absolute liar. I speak the freedom of God right now. Liberty. Liberty. Come on, that's God touching you right there. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on. You've humbled yourself. He will exalt you in the name of Jesus in due season. I come against the attack of the enemy now. Devil, you're an absolute liar. You take your hands off. I plead the blood over his mind, over his body, over his spirit. I say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Be free in the name of the Lord. The Bible says that you'll tread upon serpents and scorpions and nothing and nothing and nothing and nothing and nothing by any means shall hurt you. I'm going to tell you something. The power of God is all over you tonight. I'm going to tell you, he is under your feet tonight. In the name of Jesus, the enemy is under your feet. Devil, you're an absolute liar. This is your night of freedom. Receive. Loose, Lord, the anointing to destroy the yoke of bondage now. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive. Come on, church, I need you to pray in this building, all over this building. Come on, hallelujah. Lord, we believe the report of the Lord. We believe the report of the Lord. She's blessed coming in, blessed going out. Hallelujah, her seed is blessed. In the name of Jesus. More. Perfect peace, 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 peace. I speak to the storm now. Be still in the name of Jesus. Liberty, liberty, liberty. Lord, we declare breakthrough in this house. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Come on, let God use you. Let God use you as you pray for somebody. If you feel led, you get around and pray with them in the front. Come on, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, God's doing something in your life. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody in this building, put your hand on your chest and just say, Lord, use me. Jesus, use me. Come on, just say, Jesus, use me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, that I be used to strengthen somebody. Strengthen my family. Strengthen my friends. Strengthen the church. Lord, that you'll use me in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to sing that song about our God is bigger, the one we were singing right at the end. Hallelujah. Come on, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up those hands and begin to glorify God. He's bigger than your issue. Come on, there's freedom in the name of Jesus. Perfect love casts out all fear. Torment has got to go in the name of Jesus. The attack goes now in the name of Jesus. There's victory tonight in the name of the Lord. We take authority over the power of the enemy now. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it out. Sing it out and glorify God.
Why would I worry when giants come calling my name? My God is big, so much bigger than trouble.
Come on, how big is your God tonight? Come on, he's big.
And why would I hunger for power or riches or fame?
Oh, hallelujah.
My God is so much better than all of these things.
Come on, lift up those hands and tell him how big he is. Mountains have to move tonight.
My God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than you.
He's big.
My enemies scatter because they know the battle is done. My God is strong, the victory already won. Yet he died for my ransom and rose up on the third day. Yes, he did.
Oh, hallelujah.
My God is greater than death, hell, and the grave. There's no problem to be.
Like everybody to close their eyes right now and pray with us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for tonight. We just thank you for the inpouring of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost down on us tonight, Lord, and the salvation that you've given us on the cross, Lord. All this will never forget to give you the praise that you deserve. In your heavenly name, Father, we pray. Amen.